Hi, everyone. This is Phil Giuliani here again, and I'm going to do kind of a different podcast than you're used to hearing on this. We've been doing podcasts the last, three, 4 weeks now on the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of Israel. We've been doing the fall feasts, and I know that all the media sites have been kind of inundated with information about the fall feasts, and the importance of it is, of course, that they prefigure Yeshua. They prefigure Jesus, the Messiah. They are not to stand alone as their own celebration. You can celebrate them, commemorate them, whatever term you want to use. We celebrate them, and we've been celebrating them on Friday nights at One in Messiah. We've been celebrating them at our house. But celebrating them in the sense that they prefigure Messiah. Not that we're trying to follow the law, not that we're trying to seek righteousness from the law. But these are foretellings, they're types, they're shadows that are fulfilled by the Messiah. He's the substance with a capital S. And so we're still right now, as I'm speaking, is we're still in the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And just to summarize really, really quick, the Feast of Tabernacles commemorated the wanderings in the wilderness, and the people had to build temporary shelters, and they had to live in them for a week. And they had to have branches over the top of the dwellings so that they can see the sky. And in particular, at night, they can see the stars. They can appreciate the creation. And they dwelt in community, which is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. This is not going to be very long, I promise. I know some of you are laughing, but this is not going to be very long. They lived in community. It was also one of the three pilgrimage feasts, so everyone had to go to Jerusalem. So everybody in Jerusalem, plus the thousands and thousands of people that came into the city that did not normally live there, built temporary shelters and lived in them for a week. That would have been a lot of temporary shelters. There would have been villages, towns of temporary shelters. Everyone living in them for a week, sleeping in them, eating in them, inviting widows and orphans and poor people. So they lived in temporary shelters, and the first fulfillment of that, of course, is that we live in temporary shelters. We live in shelters. We live in Sukkot. Sukkot is the plural, by the way, of sukkah. We live in Sukkot that are degenerating. They're temporary. Someday, if Jesus doesn't come back, you know, depending when he comes back, our bodies are going to die. Our temporary shelters are going to die. We'll still be living, of course, but our temporary shelters will be gone. Then at some point in the future, when he comes back, they will be raised incorruptible, as Paul says, and we'll have glorified bodies. So we're living here. We're living in our own wilderness wandering in temporary shelters. And we are living in a way to appreciate, or should be appreciating, the creation around us. Sukkot takes place at the time of a great harvest, the fall harvest. The people's sins were atoned for 5 days before at Yom Kippur. And now it was time to bring in the harvest and to celebrate. So God's provision is celebrated. Not just the provision in the wilderness, with the manna and the water and the fact that their shoes and their clothes did not wear out, but the constant provision of food, blessings, shelters, and so forth that come all the time from him. So that's kind of the one level, the human level of the fulfillment. But I think the bigger level is the fact that Messiah himself, as the ever-existent second person of the Trinity, takes on human flesh in other words, takes on a sukkah that looks like ours. In the book of Romans, Paul says, he had the appearance of sinful flesh. He looked like everybody else, but of course did not have sin. So he came to live in a sukkah like ours, in community. In community. When he went to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feast, when he was young, he would have gone with Joseph and Mary. They would have built a sukkah and lived in it. Later, when he went, he built a sukkah, or someone built a sukkah for him, and he lived in it for a week, in community with everybody else. And so this idea of community, he comes into in a very real way. And we're going to look here for a minute on John, St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle, and how he looks at this. He looks at Jesus as the Logos, the Greek word for word. He looks at him as the living word, the divine word, the ever-existing word that was from before the beginning. So that ever-existent Logos, which spoke the universe into existence, because creation happened with words that were breathed out, ruach, pneuma, breathed out, wind, spirit, breath. And that word, the Greek concept of Logos, created everything. And now you have that eternal word, that Logos, in a sukkah made of flesh, living with us in community. Really quite amazing. In John chapter 1:14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So he says, the Word became flesh. The Greek means he pitched his tent with us, skenu. He pitched his tent with us. Literally, he came to live with us. At Sukkot, he literally built a sukkah to stay in along with everyone else in Jerusalem, because, of course, he kept the pilgrimage feasts. And part of the command in Torah for keeping the pilgrimage feast is you don't come to Jerusalem empty-handed. You come with an offering. Well, he came as an offering to the Father. He himself was an offering, the only offering acceptable to the Father. Not at Sukkot, obviously, but at Passover. He became the offering. He became the lamb. His blood became the blood that protected you from the curse if you were under the blood. If you were not under the blood, then you were subject to the curse. So he did not come empty-handed. And also this time of year, Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, is a time for the senses. We have the smell of the autumn, the smell of the harvest. The people had to have rich food and sweet drinks. There were the great smells. I love the fall. If you're like me and love the fall, you know what I mean. And John says we experienced him, meaning Jesus, through our senses. In John's first letter, he says we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. That which was from the beginning, we hung out with. We hung out with him. Our ancestors saw the Shekinah glory in the wilderness, but now we see him in flesh that we can experience with our senses. We can hear his voice. And just like at Mount Sinai, where the people saw the glory cloud and heard the shofar blast and the thunder and saw the lightning and they got scared, they moved away from the mountain. And they said, we can't handle this. So God, you talk to Moses, Moses can talk to us. They couldn't handle the word of God coming directly from the power. But now the word of God comes from a man with the voice of a man, Jesus of Nazareth. And that word comes out of his sukkah, comes out of his fleshly dwelling in a way that they and we can process. The prophet Zechariah is a minor prophet, but very powerful. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord." I'm going to live with you in your midst. And how about the Gospels? Behold, Matthew quotes from Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated God with us. In case you don't know what it means in Hebrew, he translates it for you, God with us. He came to physically live with us. And the message, his word that went out from his sukkah, from his dwelling, from his fleshly dwelling, led to the harvest, the big harvest, the all capital letters harvest, which of course included Jew and Gentile. That word went out from him through his disciples, through all the evangelists, and is still going out today, 2,000 years or so later, to bring in a bigger and bigger harvest. And we in our temporary shelters are preaching that same word because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we are bringing in the harvest. And so I think I wanted to make these important points to just kind of wrap up all the teaching on the fall feasts, especially Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, because they're also powerfully fulfilled by Messiah. So I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you keep tuning in, because we'll keep on doing some, you know, what I like to call the stuff, the normal stuff, when we don't have holidays and feast days to celebrate. So tune in again soon. Thanks for listening.